Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Conch. I am Natalie. I will be your host this evening. Please excuse me, I'm getting over a cold. If you haven't been here before and are just joining us, the Conch is live storytelling by anyone in the audience. Stories are 5 minutes or less. We prefer no notes. And each month we have a theme. This month's theme is gift. So luckily we have a storyteller to kick us off. Lucy, are you ready?
Last Christmas, I saw a gift under the tree and I knew it was about the right size to be an iPod. So I ripped it open and I was really happy, and then I saw it was socks. And so the next time I saw a gift about the same size, I didn't rip it open with very much enthusiasm. I was just like, okay, it's probably going to be more socks. And then it was an iPod, so.
Thanks, Lucy. All right, so, gift. Was that supposed to be the good night music? We do not have anyone else signed up on our list. So this is the point in the show where I look at you and beg you to tell a story about a gift you maybe received or something that was a gift that, sorry, foggy head. Maybe a trait that turned out to be a gift. Or an experience that you treasure. All right.
Hi, I'm Tess. I'm from out of town visiting my friends who live here, and this is my first time at the Conch, so cool. Yes, applause, please. My dad is kind of an enigma. He's really hard to explain, but I'm going to try and condense it. He's someone who, like, will pick a thing and get really into it. For instance, like, 60s sci-fi shows like The Time Tunnel and, like, owning them on DVD and stuff, or The Wild Wild West. I'm just throwing these out in case anyone knows them. But one year, he also, like, for Christmas, will kind of decide on a thing that I should like, or, like, this is a thing that I think Tess will like. My name's Tess. And if I didn't say that before. So he's also kind of like a peruser of Walmart, which is weird, but he does. So he'll like walk through and he'll see like a really cool Batman t-shirt that he really feels like he needs, and he'll get it, and then he'll get it like in the same size for his brother. And I think he doesn't even actually play Angry Birds. It's not a thing he like engages with, but he suddenly, I think he was probably in Walmart, and he saw an Angry Birds shirt, and he was like, you know, that's pretty cool. I like those birds. And and so he decided, like, Angry Birds was, like, his new thing. And then passing that on, that Angry Birds should also be my thing. So a couple Christmas ago, I started opening my gifts, and the first gift I opened was a pair of Angry Birds boxers, and I was like, cool, all right. And then my dad also likes Star Wars, like he's really into sci-fi, which I like very lovingly am into him passing on. But so then I opened up a Star Wars Angry Bird shirt and I was like, double cool, this will make me a lot of friends. And then I kept going and I was like, oh, this is an Angry Birds beanie. And like, I just want to explain to you that an Angry Birds beanie means it's like one of those with the tassels on the side, and it's like literally a bird beak and like red and the eyeballs. And then I got like a Lady Angry Bird shirt, which is also weird, but has like a winky face Angry Bird and it's like all red. And then the icing on the cake of this Angry Bird extravaganza was a pair of Angry Bird slippers that were red and furry. And I felt really good about it. And that's kind of the end of the story, but I'm still hoping to one day, my friends and I have kind of made a plan that I should like go out on the town and see who would pick me up in my Angry Birds wear. And I think I'm definitely going to go through with it. I just have to pick a certain time and place, but that's my story.
Thanks, Tess. All right, so I'll take a moment to thank Satchels and Lightning Salvage for letting us host this here. The Conch is a Grow Radio production, so turn into your local, tune into your local online radio station to hear this show and many others, and hear your own story. Who's next? I heard someone say Jordan.
Hi guys, I'm Brian. And Christmas 2 years ago, I was living in the southwest part of Gainesville. And I had this mail carrier. I lived in an area where all your mail was delivered into one of those big boxes with tons of little boxes with little keys and locks. And I had missed a couple different packages. My mailman, mail lady, never brought them. And I just kind of brushed it off. They were, well, $5 items. I would usually have things shipped to my workplace just to ensure they got there. But Christmas time comes around, and my mother didn't get that message. And she sent me a pretty large package to my home address, and it didn't come. I waited 2 weeks, it was priority mail, and I know those mailmen work pretty hard for their money, so I was putting a lot of trust and faith into them. Still never came. So I wrote her a note, and a big Sharpie note I taped at the outside of the mailbox, saying, "Mail lady, where's my package at? I want it. Please deliver it. Here's my box number with an arrow pointing to it." Well, the next day, I found that note crumpled up in my box. I got the message pretty clear. So I wrote a bigger note, and I taped it to the side of the box again, in bigger font. Said, "Mail lady, there are a lot of people that can do this job. And if you can't do it, there's a lot of people that will fill in for you. So get my package here, please." Still no package. So I went to the USPS.com website, and I filed a claim for the Inspector General or something, saying my mail lady was stealing my packages. And I even showed him some receipts for previous packages that never came. And 3 days later, I had my gift.
Thanks. I'm sorry that was you had to go through that. I'm glad it ended all right. All right. So gift this week. I would love for you to share your story about a gift.
The year is 1987, and the country here is racked by debate over what's happening in Central America and what we should be doing about it. I'm on one side of the debate and went down to see if I could tell whether my side was accurate or not, to see what I could do, to see whether the folks I agreed with were accurate in their description of what was happening in the war on Nicaragua that we were committing. I almost didn't get into the country at all. I didn't have the money to show at the border that I could take care of myself and get back out. Some Canadian journalists who were at the border with me pretended that I sold them a camera, got the cash. They loaned me the cash. I was able to display their cash to prove that I could make it back out of the country as part of my visa requirement. And so I got to get in and give my gift of a little labor to the Nicaraguan Revolution, this little social experiment that I thought I would believe in. So let's look, let's see. I was assigned to work in a coffee farm and got to pick coffee in the days and drink Flor de Caña rum at night, hang out with folks and see how things were doing in terms of getting everybody fed and getting everybody housed, which was the central point of what we were all up to. And I wasn't familiar with the flora or fauna, and I wasn't familiar with windows that didn't have screens in them, didn't have glass in them. They were open windows. And at one point, a moth flew in through an open window and started fluttering around the lamp, and I was fascinated. It was large and slow, and since a child I was fascinated by insects, and so I stood on a chair and I captured this moth and held it in my hands and was delighted that it was available to me and that I could see its life before me so close. And my companions were horrified. And were shocked and said, "Tírale afuera de la ventana," and they told me to throw it out the window now, quick. Taking alarm at their alarm, I did. At which point they told me that the rotating of the torso that this moth had been doing was aiming. It was aiming so that it could squirt a little juice up at me. People have been blinded by the juice of this moth in the past. And I see some moths over here right now. I'm not threatened in one bit. I did get to keep the gift of my eyesight at this point, was glad to continue my stay and continue to see what I was able to see in Nicaragua, thanks to the fast thinking of my companions who returned to me the gift of my sight as I went and gave the gift of my labor to the revolution. Thanks.
Thanks so much. So, gift tonight.
Okay. My name is Carol. I came to Gainesville in 1981 from the Virgin Islands, where I was a virgin, where I was a, no, I wasn't. well, yes, at least I got a laugh. That was good. where I was a media specialist, something different. And I came here trying to get a job. My husband was going to graduate school. So I tried at the public library, and I tried at the university, and I tried at the schools. And most of the jobs are frozen. So I finally got a job in a correctional institution. There's a prison in Lowell, which is 30 miles south on 441, called Florida Correctional Institution. And I was going to be the librarian. So I didn't know whether I really wanted the job because I didn't know anything about being in a prison, luckily. But it was a librarian job. It was ordering materials and doing reference and keeping things in order and cataloging things and usual things. But I also had to supervise the four inmates who also worked there. And they knew what they were doing. They'd been doing it for a long time. So it was pretty smooth, and we were not encouraged to find out what the women were there for, because that was fine with me because I did not want to know if somebody had done something that would shock me. At one point, I found that one of them had hurt their children, and that was pretty terrible, and I was not very happy with that. But things still went pretty smoothly, and I went along, and about Christmas time, the women started dropping hints about saying, oh, you know what, the food, they don't give us any fresh fruit to eat. And I knew what they ate, at least for lunch, because one of the perks of the job was that we had this full hot meal every day for less than a dollar. So I ate there every day, and we had cake and pie and pudding, but no fresh fruit. And I said, oh, I could give them fruit. You know, I have fruit's a nice thing to give. So, and they, you know, it was a minimum security prison. High security inmates were in Broward County, but the low security people were up in at Lowell. So that meant that there was just a barbed wire. And when we came in, they really didn't check us out too much. We kind of were, I think we went through a metal detector, but it was pretty loose. So I said, I can bring in fruit. I'll give them some fruit, you know. Sounds like a healthy thing to give. So I brought in apples and oranges, and I wrapped it up in nice paper, and I gave them fruit. And I thought that was good. That was healthy. So it didn't take too long before I was summoned into the administration, and they said, did you bring fruit into the institution? And I said, yes. And did you give fruit to your inmates? And I said, yes. And they said, did you know what they did with it? And I said, I just assumed they ate it, you know. And they said, well, you know what they did with it. They took a fire extinguisher, and they hollowed it out, and they put the fruit in there, and they proceeded to make do their best to make something alcoholic, some hooch. And I'm going, oh. Well, they just told me. I was naive. I didn't know anything about this kind of thing. And luckily, the supervisors, you know, kind of said, no, just don't, you know, be careful about these things. And I got into other trouble about other things later. But anyway, at the end of this Christmas, I was not too much wiser, but I was a little less trusting. And that was the story of those gifts to those people.
Thanks so much. So, who would like to be next to tell their story about a gift? I heard Jordan again. Oh, okay. Someone's pushing for you. All right.
Hi, my name is Woody Blue, and I have a story that is more of an experience kind of thing than a gift. It was a gift through an experience. About 2002, the Pride Center, the Community Center for Gay, Lesbian, GLBT group, was just getting started. Not in the building that it's in now, a different building. And it was the first one, and they were going to have an opening. And so for the opening, before the opening, they wanted the participation of the community and stuff like that. So they decided to have a scavenger hunt. And the scavenger hunt grand prize was $1,000. And I looked at that and said, okay, I'm in. Well, when I went to pick up the stuff that he had to get, it was like 8 pages of stuff. And it was all stuff that the community center needed, some things like pillows and Elton John sunglasses and things like that. And each item had a point to it, point like 5 points, 10 points, 20 points. And you could get as many of these items as you want. Like, for instance, if you could find 8 pillows, you could have 8 pillows. But after 8, they wouldn't count as points anymore. So if a pillow was 5 points, then you got 8 of them, you'd get 40 points. So the last page was all things you had to get from a computer, like list of schools that had anti-discrimination laws and things like that. And I am not a computer person, so I couldn't figure out how to do all that stuff. So I went around and I started looking for everything. And most of the stuff was 5 points, 10 points, 20 points, 30 points. But there was one item which was 50 points, and that was rainbow flag. And rainbow flag, if you don't know what that is, it's a flag that has 5 or 6 colors, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and purple. And it's supposed to denote diversity. So they wanted 50 points for a rainbow flag. And so I went to look for a rainbow flag. Well, we have about 2 months to get this stuff together. And I was going everywhere looking and asking all my friends for these things and stuff like that. But nobody really had a rainbow flag for me. And so I said, well, you know, they didn't say we couldn't make one. So I decided to make a rainbow flag, and I found scraps of material, and I made a pretty good size rainbow flag. And then I decided I was going to have to make more of them. And so I was cutting up clothes, I was doing all these things, and I kind of ran out of material. So then I said, oh, doesn't mean that they can't have prints on them. And so I would find material with blue with dolphins on it and stuff like that, and I would make these rainbow flags. And you could only turn in all your stuff one time. You couldn't just like keep gathering it and turning it in. You only had one opportunity to turn it all in. So I asked my friends who knew about computers to do the work on the computers. Now, the computer lists, they only had about 10 or 15 things on that list, but each one of them was like 100 points or 300 points and 200 points. They were big ticket items, but I couldn't figure out how to do them. And so I asked my friends who did know how to do computer stuff to do them. And they said, okay, you know, and then they wouldn't do it. And I would get mad at them about it. And they'd say, well, you know, I don't have time. And I'd go, come on, I'm trying to get $1,000, you know. And they're like, I said, I'll give you some money of the $1,000. Still, they said, we don't care. Well, so I was stuck with that. So I couldn't do any of the computer stuff. So I had to work really hard to get the other stuff, like shrubs, things like that. And I did. I got a whole lot of stuff. It filled up my whole porch. And I finally couldn't hardly walk on my porch. I have a long porch. And so I said, okay, I'm going to take it all in. And it took 2 truckloads of stuff to go and deliver this stuff to the Pride Center, which they were like, maybe we shouldn't have put 8 pages of things here because it filled up the quarter of the room. And and they said, you're the first one that's turned anything in. And it was like a week or two before the opening. So anyway, that was that. Night of the opening comes, and I go to the opening and with everybody else. And they are announcing the winners of the scavenger hunt. And this guy who did all the computer work, only the computer work, won. He had like 200 points more than me. And he won $1,000. And I won second prize, which was tickets to a Hippodrome play, which I ushered for anyway, so I didn't even need them. And the guy running the scavenger, he was very, he understood what happened. He realized he put the poor values on some of these things. And he felt bad about it, but he couldn't change the rules or anything. He apologized to me, and it was like, well, that's the way the game goes. But so I went home, disappointed. And then a couple weeks later, I was talking to somebody on the phone, a friend in Nashville. And I was telling her the story because she asked me how I was. I still wasn't over it. And so I told her the whole story, and she said, hey, you make rainbow flags? I'd like a rainbow flag. I'll buy one from you. And I said, oh, I'll make one for you. That's okay. And she goes, no, I'll buy one for you. So I said, okay, $25. And I was going to be seeing her at a conference by Atlanta in about 2 weeks. So I said, I'll bring it up there. So at the conference, I asked her if I could just put the rainbow flag up. And the conference was for lesbians, so it was, you know, a good crowd for rainbow flag. And so I put the rainbow flag up, and I said, I make rainbow flags. And this one was $25 or something like that. It's a little sign. And I left it up there for the whole conference. And three people ordered rainbow flags. So I said, oh, okay. And so I went home and I made rainbow flags and I mailed them out. And then while I was doing that, somebody else ordered a rainbow flag. And then I went up to the Pride Center and they had put my rainbow flags all around the Pride Center. And I was like, huh, this is kind of nice. I have some recognition. And so I thought that was pretty good. Well, the bottom line is I started making rainbow flags. And it's been 11 years that I've been making rainbow flags. I have made over 1,800 rainbow flags. They are in every continent. Asia, Australia, Africa. People who asked me to make a rainbow flag and give it to somebody in Zambia and Argentina and all these places, Nova Scotia, Belgium, the Scandinavian countries, they're all over the world now. I was, I got kind of full of myself on it. So I passed myself off as an artist. But they're all made from recycled material because that's how I started, cutting up clothes and doing things just from garage sales to get the scavenger thing going. So they're always made from recycled materials. Once in a while I have to buy something. But I was putting on art shows. I actually became an artist in residence at the University of Alabama, Huntsville. The person who was the other artist for a week, I went up there, and the other person was Holly Neer. And so it was like, oh, me and Holly, you know. She's a women's singer, anyway. So anyway, my gift was that I went through this humbling experience of collecting all this stuff for the scavenger hunt, making my friends kind of aggravated with me and irritated sometimes when I was asking them for stuff, and having to go second place, pair of tickets. And I got this big gift of having this art, and I go and I sell it in booths at Pride festivals and other festivals around town, and people know me for my art. All over the world, I'm world famous.
Thanks, Woody. All kinds of different kinds of gifts tonight. So, who would like to be next up to tell their story about a gift? I know there have to be some wheels turning by now.
My name's Emily. So I worked at Victoria's Secret for 5 years. Needless to say, over the 5 year period, I collected a ton of Victoria's Secret bags. And over the years, I was like, you know what? I'm tired of going and trying wrap presents. I get so frustrated. I am the worst present wrapper out there. I'm just gonna use these bags as gifts rather than going and spending a ton of money at Walmart and everywhere else. I have a baby brother who's like 6'2", 250, big football kid. I'm gonna play a joke on this year. I come home for Christmas, all my gifts, particularly his, was in a big old Victoria's Secret bag. And he's like, what'd you get me? What is this, what is this? I'm like, oh, don't worry. Did you know Victoria's Secret has a men's line now? I caught him on the Victoria's Secret website that night, looking through, trying to find something on there that was for men. Couldn't find it. He follows me into work one of the days. Come on, you gotta show me where the line is. Where is it? What is it? What did you get me? Don't worry about it. You'll find out Christmas Day. It's like 3 or 4 days later. And he's just sitting there staring at the bag, terrified to open it. My mom's laughing hysterically. She knows exactly what it is. And he's like, I just can't do it. I don't know what it is. I'm terrified. And finally, I was like, you know what? Just open the dang thing or I'm going to open it and dump it on your head. And had him all worked up. His girlfriend's sitting there laughing at him too, by the way. Come to find out, I'd gone to Cabela's and bought him several duck calls that year because he was supposed to be going duck hunting for the first time ever. And proceeded to wrap them up in that because I had no idea how to wrap a duck call. So got him pretty good. I got quite the thumping for that, though. So we both got gifts that Christmas from each other.
Thank you. You've got a couple Christmas joke gift jokes in the crowd. Anyone else? You're the lucky winner. You get to tell a story. All right. Thought it might work. This will be posted on growradio.org, so check it out. Also, Grow Radio and the Conk have their own Facebook pages, so like us, please. Also, thanks again to Satchels and Lightning Salvage. It's not over yet, though. Who's next? All right, Jordan.
All right. So I'm Jordan. Work at the bar. Hello, everybody. So this is about like probably the most meaningful gift I'd ever received from somebody, and I'll tell you what it is. I guess it was this beautiful hookah that was just, it was one of the most amazing tools I had ever worked with in my life. And I was really big fan when I was a younger man of Alice in Wonderland. And, you know, the caterpillar sits on his mushroom and he smokes his hookah. And it was just, you know, I don't know. I just liked Alice in Wonderland and the idea that, you know, things can be what they don't appear to be. And you've all read Alice in Wonderland. You understand. And so I really enjoyed this, and it was something I would always talk with this friend of mine about. One day I wanna own a hookah like that, something really nice and, you know, beautiful, and not just a useful tool, but also a piece of art. And maybe, I don't know, I knew this kid when I was 17, and around 18, when I was getting ready to graduate from high school, I had this high school sweetheart, and she was my first real love. And we had been together for like 2 years through high school, knew my family knew her, and we were, you know, we were very close. And one day she broke up with me, and it was just this, it was devastating. I mean, it's your, you know, I hopefully you've all been there, you've had your first heartbreak. And it's, you know, it's something everybody goes through, and it's horrible when you're that age. It's the world is gone, it's done. Nothing's ever going to grow again. Nothing will ever be happy again. And about 2 weeks after this breakup, we graduated, and she moved in with this friend of mine and came here to Gainesville. And I was just livid. I mean, I knew something was going on before we broke up. I knew that they were just rotten people. And, you know, I was as upset as I'd ever been. And nobody here has ever seen me upset, which is... That's okay. but I, you know, I was, you know, I was ready to spit. I'll tell you honest. And so I just, you know, this friend of mine, he was in a lot of bands with me when we would play music together and everything. And he was a very close friend as well. So it was a real betrayal. And we knew similar people. We had mutual friends, all three of us in the little love triangle there. And And it was just, I just let it be known that these people were dead to me. Like, I don't ever want to see them again. And I don't know, 4 years maybe? Nah, not quite that long. Maybe just two. But I was living in Tampa, and I had this birthday party. And all of a sudden, this guy, Grant, he shows up at the birthday party. And it's just like, it was like a day had not gone by since I graduated high school, you know? And I was so upset. But he brings me this big box. And he had remembered way, way back when I had talked about this hookah that I had really wanted. And I'd never seen it. It was just something I had in my mind, you know, from pictures and ideas. And he just set this box down and he went outside and he told someone else, just tell Jordan that's for him. And he went outside and had a cigarette. And I opened this box and it was beautiful. It was blue, like crystal glass base with this long gold and blue, like cloth twined stem. Like the hose was just, it was like 8 feet long. Because the idea was that you could use the tool while it sat on your bedside table and not have to get out of bed. that was part of the dream. And it was great. And it was this wooden, hand-carved wooden stem, like almost a foot long with rabbit fur, real rabbit fur. It had two different base, you know, two different devices on the top. He brought me some authentic Turkish tobacco to smoke with it that was different flavors and little coals and even little brass tweezers to pick the coals up. It was like, I mean, it was the whole thing. And it wasn't so much, I mean, it was a great tool. I got many years of use out of it. And fortunately, it's broken. I still have some of the parts, and one day it'll be whole again. But the most important thing about it was just that he had remembered about this, and that this was his sort of way to make amends. And it worked. It worked like a charm. We didn't say anything about anything else. We didn't say, oh, hey, that's cool, I forgive, nothing like that. I opened the gift, I saw it, I went outside, and I said, hey, man, you want to try this out? And that was that.
Thanks, Jordan. Sometimes I think you're just a really great story writer because you've got like spot on stories for every conch. I believe it's real though, and you tell them really great, so. So who's gonna top that? That was supposed to be funny. So a story about a gift. All right, Christina.
Hi, y'all. I'm Christina. My story is about a gift that I gave to somebody, or I don't know if it's really a gift, but it's like Christmas themed, so it works. So I have a grandpa that lives in Mississippi. He lives in Senatobia, which is like really small area. And my sister over there, she was there, we went to visit him one Christmas. And I don't, like, there's not a lot of stuff over there. There's this place, Fred's, which is the, like, equivalent to just, like, a Dollar General, something like that. And we were bored, and we had to go there for some reason. I think I went with my dad. And there were all these presents, like, present things, lots of things for little ladies, like plastic shoes and stuff. And I got really excited because I had this grand idea in my head. My papa is, he hunts and he kills deer, and he has this, what are they called? Like hunting stands, deer stands, on his property. And I thought it would be hilarious to put, all of like the little trinkets and stuff in it. And before we left, like the day we left, I went over there, and it's like way outside of his house, and my dad and I decorated his whole entire deer hunting thing, and I put makeup all in it and little shoes, and I put a Santa costume in there and like just a bunch of, and like boas were everywhere, and I was having a blast. I thought it was hilarious. And And we leave, and I don't tell him anything about it. I can't remember how long after the fact he finally goes in there and sees it, and he automatically knew it was me and called me, and I couldn't tell you what he said, mainly because it's really inappropriate for this, but something along the lines of saying something really to anybody other than our family would think was really mean and obnoxious and offensive, but to me was him telling me he loves me in a really obnoxious way. And that was my present to him that year.
Thanks, Christina. So the next conch will be on January 14th, first one of the new year, second Tuesday of the month. So I got that right, yeah? Okay. So I hope to see you all there. But in the meantime, who would like to tell a story of a gift? Sometimes I feel like the evil teacher up here being like, who's going to do the next problem on the board? I don't mean to be like that. I just want to hear your stories. A gift, anyone? All right, Rain.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a little ashamed to tell this story, but every year at Christmas, my family does, you know, lots of little gifts, and then there's like one big gift that each of us like is really, you know, excited about. So I think this particular Christmas, I think I was 11, and for, you know, almost my entire life. I don't know if any of you know what year the movie The Beastmaster came out. But beginning that year until even now, I really wanted a pet tiger and a ferret. Two would be great, but one even. Because the ferrets, especially, you know, the Beastmaster had him in his little like leather bag, and then they save him when he starts drowning in the quicksand. Anyway, so I needed a ferret. The tiger, I totally understood. That was crazy. But I needed a ferret. And there were ferrets available in the pet stores, which I made very clear to both of my parents. So a week before Christmas, maybe it wasn't a week, maybe it was like 4 or 5 days, I don't know why, but I happened to be snooping in the guest room closet, and there was a box in the closet that was making a noise. And I was like, and it was all, I was like, oh my God, there's something alive in the box. But I didn't want to ruin the surprise, of course. So I left the box closed. But I knew it wasn't big enough to be a tiger. It had to be a ferret. It had to be a ferret. So I already named my ferret by the second day. And I would go visit my ferret in the box. Yeah, and we would like communicate like this. And then I would, and I made no, like my parents had absolutely no idea that I knew about the ferret in the box, in the closet, in the guest room. So anyway, Christmas morning comes, and you know, we wake up and we open all our presents, and like no ferret, no box, no. And I know that they're gonna go through this whole thing, and they're gonna pretend like there's no living thing in a box anywhere. And then when I'm like, there's one of them's gonna, but Rain, right? And they're gonna bring the box out, right? So I'm like sort of feigning like disappointment at the end of the morning, because I have all this like you know, I don't know, socks and crap, you know? But then there's no, like, pet. So then my dad brings the box down. Rain. There's, oh, we forgot. There's one more thing. And I'm like, what do you mean? One more thing. What do you mean? And there's the box. And I'm like, what's that? He brings it. And I am, oh, my God, I'm so excited. My ferret, I finally get to meet you, my ferret. I've been visiting you for like 5 days in the closet. And I haven't seen you. And I'm so excited. I've been waiting for you my whole life, ferret. And I open the box. I'm so excited. Oh, my God, there's two hamsters? Stupid hamsters? Where's the ferret? What ferret? The ferret that was in the closet. Rain, it was ham. I love these stupid hamsters. I did not claim the hamsters. This is why I was ashamed to tell this story. Oh, but my mom kept the hamsters, and then within like 2 months, one of them got eaten by the cat, and the other one like melted in one of those spinning plastic balls in the backyard. And yeah, but I did get a ferret. I did get a ferret, and her name was Chewbacca, and she was awesome.
Thanks, Rain. I think a couple of years ago, my family pulled the, oh my gosh, we forgot a present, but they really did forget, and it was clothes hangers. So that wasn't as exciting or as big of a letdown. All right, so there have to be a couple more stories about gifts sprinkled out there. Yeah? All right.
So, mostly because this is a good segue to the last story. So, when I was a kid, I was very, very underloved. Starting out on a high note. And I used to take my lunch money and get Friskies, little treats, and get cats in the neighborhood to follow me home so that I have lots of pets to give love to. And when I would get in trouble for it, I'd be like, but they followed me home. I had no choice. It's our responsibility now to take care of them. So we had lots of cats, and we had one inside only. And for Christmas, I come out one Christmas morning, and we go through the gifts and stuff, and my brother's acting all mysterious. He's over in the corner, and he's like, okay, I have a present for you. My relationship with my brother, especially then, was what we'll politely call interesting. It's a good catch-all word for, he was a little bit sadistic at times. But he takes out this towel, and it's all wrapped up, and he's like, okay, so I have this present for you, and you're gonna love it. But you're gonna have to take care of it. Like, yeah, get it to me, get it to me. I was like, what is it? He was like, I'm not telling you yet. You have to agree that you're gonna take care of it first. I'm like, I will, I'll do whatever. It's a cat. He's like, no, it's not a cat. Stop interrupting me. I'm like, okay. I'm stop interrupting him. I'm waiting and I'm fidgeting. And I'm like, what could it be? And I'm picturing a monkey and like any strange, exotic, furry, cute beast that's going to like make me so happy. And for 5 minutes, he drags it out. And he brings up like my past wrongs. He's like, the cat litter box is not clean right now. You can't pull that crap with this one. I'm like, no, I'll take care of it. And you have to feed it twice a day. Yes. Finally, he like delicately like passes it over to me. I'm like, and I open it up, and it's a stuffed animal from his shelf that was all covered in dust. Because my brother was an imaginative ass. And that's my gift story.
Thank you. Thanks. All right, so we're closing in on the last potential half hour of stories here. We've had a lot of great stories tonight. Thanks, y'all. As always, thank you for sharing. Let's keep it rolling. Have you got another one?
Yeah. All right.
All right, so I was in elementary school, and every once in a while, you just get something that you have a real hankering for. You know the kid in the Christmas story with his Red Ryder BB gun? Well, my thing this year was a Lego train set. I already had a Lionel train set that I played around with my dad. But no, that wasn't good enough. I wanted a Lego train set. Nowhere near as good in quality, totally inferior, but it was Legos. Every kid wanted Legos in the 90s. So I used to go to KB Toys. And I would stare at this Lego train set. It was like $110. My parents never spoiled me by any means, and goodness knows, we all wish they did at some point, but they didn't, and I'm glad for it. So my parents would always hide the toys in the closet of their bedroom, and there was a pretty big box in there. And this train set came in a pretty big box. It was pretty decent size, like this, maybe 3 feet tall. And there was a really big box in there. So I would check it out every once in a while, sneak in there and look at it, waiting for Christmas. And Christmas comes. The Christmas tree is up. Christmas morning, we all go out to it. The big box is not there. And there was no faking out like the ferret either. The last present I opened was a stamp collecting book.
Breaking my heart. Did you ever find out what happened to the big box?
It actually went to a Toys for Tots thing.
Oh. Do you know what it was?
I hope it wasn't my Lego train set.
Me too. Goodness.
And I still have the stamp collecting book in my closet.
Aw. I'm glad to hear that it wasn't as wasted as you thought it might be. So, gifts. Danny's typically got a story too, but I won't beg too hard. Okay. All right. My cheeks are starting to hurt from smiling. Because I don't know what else to do. Oh my gosh, Lisa, you've got one? You've got another one? All right.
This one is this year, really recently. I was going to get my parents a Christmas gift at Publix. And we went there, and I went, and I found it, and I looked at it. And I was like, okay, it's a $100 gift card to Lowe's, just what Mom wanted. And I go and I say, Dad, I have this thing behind my back, but it costs a lot of money. He's like, does it cost over $25? I'm like, I don't know. And so I'm in a real dilemma here. I don't know if I should show it to him and spoil the surprise, or if I should just, like, try to pay for it. And I go over to the cash register. I have a $20 bill. Go over. I put the thing on the car, on the little aisle thingy, Bob thing. Yeah, whatever. And put it on there. I asked, how much does this cost? Person says $100. I'm like, I go over to Dad and said, yes, it costs more than $25. He's like, sorry to burst your bubble, but no. And so I put it back and I find something else.
Thanks, Lucy. Sorry, Mom. So would anyone else like out there like to share their story of a gift? All right, awesome.
Hi, I'm Jessica. So when you told me that next month, you know, when the next story was, or I've been coming here for a year and I've never told a story. I just like to watch and I feel like that's silly. I'm going to do it. So, yeah. I'm going to tell a story about a cat. What a surprise. Yes. Fuck it. So I'm a manager at the Alachua County Humane Society, so cats are my life, and it's really hard most of the time. Every day it's my job to figure out what cats we can save from being put down at the county shelter, and it's really sad. But I have really interesting conversations with people, trying to ask them to take their cats back and seeing if I can work with them on finding the cats' new homes. If I can get someone on the phone, I can get them to take their cat back. If I can't, you know, whatever, we figure it out. So about a year and a half ago, I was working with my coworker on this one particular cat named Sergeant. And we called his former owner to ask her if she would take him back. No other rescues were gonna pull him. He was only a year old, super, super cute. We're like, come on, you gotta take this cat back. So we got the cat, she agreed to take him. When we got him, we had realized that she had completely shaved him, except for his head. So he had a really awesome, but also terrible lion haircut. And I was like, oh my God, what am I gonna do with this cat? I had also found out that the reason why she had turned him in was he had fleas and she didn't know how to deal with it. So she shaved him and then poured peroxide on him, which is really bad. So I was like, okay, we have a lot to talk about. Let's do this. She took him back. We neutered him. We did everything for her for free. So for a few months, it was awesome. Her and Sergeant were doing really well. He was like, he was literally one of the cutest cats I'd ever seen, even though he had a horrible haircut. But then one day she came back into the office and she was like, you know what? I should have let him go to Jesus. He needs to go to Jesus. That was better. I should have done that. And we were like, no, you don't mean that. Come on, you don't mean that. So she took him back. 2 days later, my best friend was in a park and she called me. And she said, Jessica, there's a cat. He's 150 feet in the air on the top of a tree. Like, what do I do? He's screaming. He's up in this tree. And I was like, okay, well, there's this tree climbing guy who specifically saves cats. It's like his whole life. That's what he does. So we called him and he was like, it's your lucky day. It's my day off. I'm gonna do this for free. He usually does it for $150. And I was like, okay, cool. Go get the cat. So he got the cat. My best friend called me and she was like, Jessica, it's so weird. this cat shaved like a lion. I was like, no, it's not. It is not shaved like a lion. It's not this cat. I was like, bring it to me. She brought me the cat. It's the cat. He has a diamond studded collar on at this point. And I was like, oh my God, what am I gonna do with this cat? The woman disconnected her phone number. And I was really stressed. Like, we have way too many cats all the time. I can't deal with this one right now. But I did. So I found it a foster home, whatever. The next day, the tree climbing guy, what he just happens to do is videotape all of his adventures, and then he posts them on Facebook. So I was like, this is awesome. I'm gonna use this video to get this cat adopted. But what I didn't realize was that the video was gonna be the best thing that ever happened to me. He videotapes himself climbing up the tree, hustling, with Linkin Park music in the background, so it's really intense. It's really intense. Like, he's getting this cat. He pauses. He does all this slow motion stuff in the video so that you really get the full effect. Like, this is stressful. And he shows the cat up at the top of the tree. It's meowing, screaming in his face. Like, you know, he was really high. It was at the Kiwanis Park on Northwest 8th Street and 9th Avenue by... 8th Avenue and 9th Street. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So there's really tall trees there. He's at the very top. I don't even know how it's possible he got up there. I really don't. I don't understand. But anyways, this video showcases that. And... for some reason, the guy also named the cat Boogie Board. So it's showcasing this new cat with the lion haircut, the diamond studded collar as Boogie Board. He has this video. All I did was shared it on Facebook, and I had 20 offers to adopt him. Someone drove 2 hours to Gainesville to adopt him for her daughter because she thought he was the cutest cat in the whole world. So I love the tree cat rescue guy, and that was my story.
Thanks so much, Jessica. I'm glad you, after a year of joining us, you finally told us a story. Now you just need to make... You need to make all the cats climb trees, right?
Yeah, I feel like I can't legally.
That and diamond studded collars. All right, so we're winding down here. Who else has a story of a gift? I think your finger's pointing.
She's coming up with an outline.
Okay. All right. You've got to be like the 100% table. If you tell a story, everyone at your table will have told a story. It takes a lot. It's vulnerable up here. All right.
I am Alicia, and I've got two gift stories. So I thought of this in the last 5 seconds. So I work in human resources. So as you know, this time of year, we're very concerned about office parties and alcohol and that sort of thing. Well, we had just hired a new human resources office manager, and we're having a big party. And as we're having this party, she's like, I brought you guys a gift. And she's from Puerto Rico. She's like, this is a very customary gift for Puerto Rico. So we're all excited, like, oh, okay, what is this? And we unwrap our gifts, and it's this Puerto Rican alcohol that she brought to work with her. And none of us say anything because we don't know what to say about, you know, you can't have alcohol on premises, much less if you're HR. You're supposed to be the one policing this. So we all finished quietly eating our lunch at work, and nobody said anything to her. So after work, I walked her to her car, and I said, Ginger, you know we can't have alcohol at work. And she's like, what kind of rule is that? And so that was like her second week there, and I had to share the alcohol and drug abuse policy with her. She's like, I do not like this rule. But she did not bring alcohol to work anymore after that. So then my second gift story, which is hilarious, I have a friend that I've known from corporate office for probably 8 years, and we alternate each year. Like, I'll go up and see him 1 year, and then he'll come down and see me, which he likes coming down and seeing me because Florida's a lot more fun than Arkansas. So we really look forward to the year that he comes down to see me. So the past few years, he's only been able to come down. I haven't had the chance to go up. So I always host him when he comes down, and we'll go to SeaWorld or we'll go to Busch Gardens, whatever it is. So this last year, he comes down, and he had been collecting information from me that, like, my bucket list of stuff I wanted to do. I'm from Orlando, so he wanted to know things I have never done in Orlando. So he won't tell me anything about the itinerary. So I pick him up from the airport, and I'm like, where are we going? He's like, I'll punch in the address. Don't worry. So he punches in the address. So I'm just driving the car. And it takes us to the Grand Bohemian in Orlando, which is a very high-class hotel, very high-class. It has its own art gallery. Like, it's amazing. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, I'm in love immediately with the art gallery. I'm like, this is an amazing hotel. We have a room. It's like one of those presidential suites. I can see all of Orlando from our room, which is, like, another thing that I'm just in love with. And I'm like, this is amazing. Like, how did you get this room? And he's like, he won't tell me anything about it. So he's like, we've got plans at 6, so make sure you're ready by then. So I get dressed. I go downstairs. There's a stretch limo waiting for us. Like, oh my God, this is so cool. So we go and see the Cirque du Soleil show down in downtown Disney, which is something I've always wanted to do. And after that, we go to the ice bar, which is something I've always wanted to do. And everything there is made of ice. Your cups are made of ice. Your seats are made of ice. Your bar is made of ice. Like, everything's ice. Like, oh, I'm having the best night ever. So then we go bar hopping, and literally we're taking a stretch limo from block to block because there's nowhere else to drive in downtown Orlando. And the driver's like, you know, it's like right there. And like, yeah, but we want to drive there. So we do. And, the next day we wake up and we go see my best friend for brunch, and then we go and have like these amazing massages at the hotel. Like, it was incredible. I had like the best weekend ever. And so by that night, like, we've done all this stuff, and I'm like, Josh, what's going on? Like, I don't understand. And by the way, Josh has a girlfriend in Arkansas that I know. I'm like, does your girlfriend know where you are right now? Like, this is crazy. Like, you're doing all this stuff with me. He's like, well, you know, next week's my birthday, right? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, you're my birthday present. Oh, so I'm really tired. I think I'm going to go to bed now. Like, what? So I found out that weekend that Josh and his girlfriend are swingers, which I did not know prior to that. And I was the present, but I wasn't.
Thanks. At first I was thinking, like, he's just using you as an excuse to do all of these fun things. All right, so gift. We've got time for a couple more. Me? Not really. That's okay. No, that's totally fine. Sometimes I have them and interject them. That's embarrassing, huh? I have one, but it involves it's really a gift that was given to my boyfriend. I'm not sure if he would like me to tell it. He's not here. but it will be on the internet, and you know that can never be erased, so. Too late. It's a really sentimental, sweet story, and sad, but yeah. Use your imaginations. Was that the drum roll? For me? Okay. Here we go. Sorry if I cry. I've done it before. My family gives kind of predictable gifts for Christmas. And it's always like, hey, what do you want? I kind of want this. All right, here you go. Which is great. I mean, I'm certainly not complaining about it. But, my boyfriend's family is incredibly creative when it comes to gift giving. Like, man, I always feel like so lame giving him whatever it was that he told me that he wanted because he has some like crazy masterpiece. Like right now, he's looking for a turn. He won't tell me why, of course, but he's looking for a turntable. It doesn't need to work, just the motor needs to work. So this is going into my Christmas present. And like I have no qualms that it is going to be awesome, but so that's it, like they're always super creative and like super thoughtful, and I always feel really lame that I can't give as thoughtful gifts. I don't really have anything to do with this story. Anyway, his I think it was for Christmas one year. It might have been for his birthday. His mom compiled all of the family recipes from like her family and from his dad's family and from their family. And so it's just this like this thick binder of all of these stories, or not stories, I'm telling a story, recipes. All of these recipes. And I think he was pretty psyched about it when he got it, but it was just kind of like, oh, hey, this is a cool thing. So then it gets sad really quick. His mom passed away a couple years ago, and I don't know if he's used it since then, but there's this chili cook-off that we go to that our friends have every year, and so this year for the chili cook-off, he pulled it out and made a recipe, and we were just looking through it, and it's like the most heartwarming gift.